Hello, everybody. Welcome to Level Up Circle. How are you guys doing today? Happy pre-Thanksgiving. How amazing it is. I am thankful for all of you. I am thankful for all my friends, my family, and people who follow me who don't really know me, but like feel like they know me and they DM me. Thank you so much for those messages. I am still digging up your message since July. I apologize. I'm a one-woman show. And yes, I need an assistant. I literally am hitting almost 200,000 emails right now. And there's no way in heck I would be able to read all of them. As much as I can tell you that I'm a fast reader, I can't read 200,000 emails in 1 week, not even in a month, guys. But I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you so much. This year, I've been reflecting a lot, and I am grateful. I have a grateful heart to be surrounded amongst amazing people. So welcome to Level Up Academy by Dr. Leland. It's called Doc Leland. I know people are like, Dossie Leland? It's just Doc Leland, because that's how my students call me. They actually name me. I didn't name myself. And I kind of like the tone. I'm like, okay, we'll go with that. So today, we are going to be with Sarah. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for you guys. And I know my sister Susanna is really excited because she wanted to be an astronomer. So this is going to be a great conversation. But first things first, I want to make sure that I invite you for Level Up Circle magazine. It is going to come out beginning of January, and I'm still looking for, I think, two more spots I have left, two or three more spots. This is both online and physical as your branding authority. So I will write for you. I have a bunch of questions that I would ask you, and I would ask for four pictures to highlight you as a authority or branding authority for your business if you are in doing personal branding, right? And you're probably thinking, okay, CJ, what's the benefit? There's so many magazines out there. Here's the thing. If you want to be on LA Weekly, New York Weekly, all the big ones out there, Entrepreneur, Forbes, you let me know. But keep in mind that those magazines get you into one place and it's about $5,000. Some of them are $600. One magazine in Dubai is $50,000. So if you want to pay me $50,000 for 800 words, by all means, please, right? Do it. I do get 60% off because of my branding authority in the PR world. So I partner with international PR so I can get those discounts for you. But while I was doing this for my clients, I was thinking, why not me give you the authority of your own branding? I do have a following. In YouTube, it's about 63,000 and growing. And in Instagram, it's about 80,000 subscribers and growing. And I just started on influencing you as an influencer, subscribers only all over the world. So that is something that's growing. I am on 26 distribution channels now with one of them, I think, has 250 million followers on their website. I'm a contributor and SME, subject matter expert on there. I'm a top 10% global podcasters in the world. So I do have a following for you to be that, but mine is not going to cost you arm and a leg because my mission, I have to be driven by my mission, everything that I do. My mission is to level up the world through education. And that doesn't mean that formal education, that means education about life. And so I'm here to partner up with entrepreneurs, solopreneur, and gigapreneur because I know how hard it is to not have a budget, but you want to be everywhere. So that's why I'm here, okay? But anyhow, this magazine will get you a feature in the magazine, but it's not 800 words. It's like four pages. And it is the only issue that I will give you a freebie next year, the only issue. And the reason why is because it's called the year of reinvention. And every quarter I'll be digging on your DMs and, hey, Sarah, Susanna, are you guys ready for the next quarter? What did you do this year? Because I want to make sure that I partner up with you all the way till next year, because next year, December, you get in for free and said, hey, let's write about your 12-month plan from last year. Did you manifest anything that came true? But listen, every quarter I'm pushing you to make sure you do it, okay? Because sometimes we need accountability partners, people. So that's what we're going to do with this magazine. The only issue, guys. Another thing that we're doing, my sister Susanna and I are, we're doing a Black Friday sale for, these are limited seats, by the way, for our anthology. We do it every single year where six times number one international bestseller. And I have 17 books. I think Susanna has 10. So combined with all of us, we can get you there. We can publish you traditional publishing with Barnes & Nobles and in anything like that. If you want to be on Amazon, you can do that. If you want to do distribution channels internationally, we can do that. Most anthologies, they're just on Amazon. And I say just because Amazon is only in 15 countries. Okay. And so that's why I say just. Anyhow, this is the first anthology where we don't have a theme, nothing. And your book comes out in March and you have it writing between now in the holidays when you're taking a break and do it until next year. So we start writing literally in February. So right now until Friday, it's $300. December, it goes to $400. January, it goes back up to the normal price of $600. After the March publication, our anthologies more likely will be going up as well. When you are part of our authors club, basically, if you write for us, a repeat customer gets you a royalty discount. But on top of that, you get into our TV show, which is Thursdays for my authors for free. If you want to be on TV and you're not an author and you have a business, it's $150 for 45 minutes. So that is how it works. I try to do everything for my friends. I call them friends, not just customers, because I want them to be a repeat customer because we love collaborating with each other. All right. But this one is called Scattered Pages. So you could talk about your kitty. You could talk about your goldfish. I'm actually going to talk about my dogs on this next chapter. It has nothing to do with anything but my dogs. But here's the thing. My dogs taught me patience. I think I ran out of patience as soon as one of my child went to adulthood. I really ran out of patience. I think I'm like, oh man, good thing God only gave me two. My youngest told me, God didn't give you a boy, because you'll be insufferable as a boy mom. I was like, what? What? She told me this 2 days ago. Mom, you are a helicopter mom with us. Imagine if you have a boy, you'll never let him go. Poor wife. I was like, wow. My daughter gave me that advice. I was like, am I that bad? She's like, no, you're not bad, but you love a little too much sometimes. I was like, oh, wow. I thought I was letting go, right? But this is why I don't have patience anymore. And God knew better. God knew better. And that boy would be wearing pink. I do not care. My daughters used to be pink, 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 pink. Now they're all black, 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 like their dad, black shirts, black everything. I was like, I'm breathing. I can't do this thing. But life is just so funny. This is called Scattered Pages. So you could be talking your goldfish, your squirrel friend, your dog, your cat, your whatever. You could actually write a poetry. We don't care. But we will still edit it. We still have a standard of excellence we have to uphold, right? And it will just be fun. Like opening a book, like every day is Christmas because it's different stories and like no rhyme or reason why they're even this story. There's no theme. How exciting. Anyhow, I'm going to stop talking. I'm way too excited right now. And this book, Against the Grain, my sister Susanna is the lead of this. We take turns, right? We're business partners, so we take turns. This is called Against the Grain, Finding Belonging in a World of Resistance, right? And it's coming out December 6th for Kindle. It's for 24 hours, maybe 48 if we feel good about it. We will give it to you for free because we want a review, guys. And really, most importantly, is that any sales that we get for this book, just like any of our books, it goes to a nonprofit. This one is for confronting domestic violence. So if you buy a book from us, you know that either we're planting trees in Madagascar or Honduras, we're giving it to mental health or autism, or this one is confronting domestic violence. All of our book sales goes to that because we believe in giving back to our community as much as we can. We're not rich people, but we can provide little bits here and there to make a difference. I didn't pause, did I? I didn't even pause. Hello, everybody. Okay, so I haven't really like put this wig on I actually start naming my wigs. I don't know if I can keep up with naming my wigs. I have a lot. And I actually call this one like Rosie because she's so cool. I've had this wig. This one is particularly probably 10 years old. I've had this because I do cosplay and I go to comic conventions and dress up even with my kids. It was actually funny. Now I'm so lazy to dress up. It's like just whatever, right? So I had wigs back then, but yeah, this is Rosie, right? Welcome to the live, Rosie. YouTube people, thank you so much for being here. I know you guys cannot wait to meet Sarah. We are 1,085 YouTube watchers. I know you're probably driving Philippines. I hope you guys are okay. I know you had some flooding and wind. I know that Bangladesh. I hope you guys are also okay. We love you guys. So are you guys ready? I'm done talking, I think. Are you guys ready to have Sarah? Oh, one last thing I want to add. We are having a catalog because I get asked so many questions and I don't have time to answer them. And so I'm telling you that we are getting in a catalog for Level Up Academy. So it looks like this. This is all of our services. Editing, publishing, journal, anthology in a box, quarterly anthologies, podcasts, Level Up Magazine, TV show. We do YouTube, Roku, Apple, so many to list. Radio show. I do have a radio station as well that I partner with. That is 30 different countries on top of my podcast. That is the Block 105. It's hip hop and R&B. Don't make me rap. Podcast circuit. It's free every month. If you're into podcasting, I have a book to mic to millions in that. We have social media affiliate program, which I will be bringing in 2025. I also do press releases in about 200 to 1400 SEO backlinks for you. And then I do keynote speaking, both in education, branding, publicity, and entrepreneurship. Here are our books and products. I know there's a lot of Level Up Academy. This is why I'm doing a catalog, okay? So we do live streams and TV show for your branding and publicity. So if you want to sponsor logo, we can provide that. This is our Monday show. This is for influencing you. This is our Wednesday show, which we are here today with Sarah. Thursday is our TV show. Yes, I did meet Stan Lee. A whole bunch of I live near LA. Okay. So I meet a lot of movie stars that I like to talk to about their creativity side. So I interview sometimes. Friday podcast. This is Saturday, the Block 105 radio, every other Saturday. And then Sunday, we might change our audio room if LinkedIn is changing to Clubhouse. And then Sunday night, I do have another TV show that gives you free lecture times. And then we do authority in speaking, magazine, and social media. So we'll go over a lot of that. We provide so much and I can't talk to all of them. But are you guys ready? Welcome, Sarah.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. I need some coffee real quick. I think I talked way too fast. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so excited to have you here. When we were talking in Zoom, and I'm like, you have to be here. I'd love to help you and get you out there and get people to know you because, you know, we have over 100 people in the hounds, but it's not like you have time to talk to 100 people, right?
Right.
And it's not like everybody's going to get what you're trying to say either. So by doing this, by doing with Mike, we can actually put our community to get to know who you are and what you do. Let me start you with this question. Think back 20 years ago. And find within your timeline some of the significant changes in your life that got you here where you are today.
I like that question. I think I'm actually going to go back a little farther because I know exactly one pivotal moment that got me here today. I had just graduated from UC Berkeley and I had a friend who was a year ahead of me at Berkeley. So she had graduated the year before and was working in San Francisco. And she, I met her for coffee one day because I had nothing to do. I was trying to find a job. She did have a job. So I met her in San Francisco and we went out for coffee and She was complaining how she wasn't ready to leave that night for Santa Barbara because she was going on a business trip. And for those of you who don't know, Santa Barbara is about a 5 to 6 hour drive from here. And I said, what time does your flight land? And she said 8 o'clock. And I looked at my watch and I said, you know what? I'm going to meet you there. I'll pick you up from the airport. So I went home, packed up, got in my car, drove down and picked her up from the airport in Santa Barbara and decided I wanted to stay there. That's where I grew up. But I was living in San Francisco Bay Area and decided I want to stay there. And luckily my aunt and uncle lived there still. So I had a free place to stay and got a temp job at a calendar publisher in Carpinteria, which is just south of Santa Barbara. And that led me to 30 years in consumer products, which I had no idea. Like your sister, I went in as an astronomy major in UC Berkeley, but I graduated as a rhetoric major. So yeah, that didn't really take me into astronomy career or being an astronaut, which I wanted to be. So I kind of fell into this career in consumer products. And here I am 30 years later after transitioning out of it. So that is one moment. Meeting my girlfriend Carolyn for a coffee literally changed my life.
One person. That's why when people are like, we need all of these people to meet to change. It only takes one person, really, right? And I love that story. Lewis, I'm telling you, you don't need 50K to have my services, bro. I got you. But if you wanted to be in Dubai, there's this, I forgot what the magazine is called. Literally, it says $50,000. And people pay for it. Otherwise, the services wouldn't be there. But even if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't pay $50,000. I'm too cheap, okay? It's just ingrained in me, okay? I will ask for discounts. I will ask for freebie. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't care. But to pay $50,000, I could plant so many trees without money. Like, I could, you know, sponsor a whole village without money to feed. So I would not do that for sure.
They should be paying you $50,000 to be in the magazine.
Right? I'm like, hey, but if you want to give me money, you know, it goes to the right places. It's because honestly, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I definitely need money, but I wouldn't need it in excess just to do whatever. I want to help other people as well. And that's one thing I love about your story, Sarah. Can you kind of take us back where you're at from there? And then Santa Barbara, by the way, is so beautiful. If you guys never been, take us from there and then where you are right now, what you're doing.
Well, I mentioned I work for in consumer products. That I worked for a calendar publisher. That was the first calendar publisher to publish licensed products. So before then, it was all puppies and kitties and castles and sort of generic scenery. And we did a line of supermodels, which I know this totally dates me. We did a line of Nike athletes. And then eventually TV shows and movies and licensed calendars around that. And so I got really interested in licensing and sales. And so I've worked for publishers, toy companies, consumer electronics companies, basically heading up licensing teams and sales teams. So negotiating global contracts with people like Disney and Hasbro and Paramount, all the children's character entertainment licensors. And then selling all these products into chain stores in North America and Europe and a little bit in Asia. So, but it wasn't really the career I wanted. I mean, I wanted to be an astronaut since I was a little girl. I've always been fascinated by space. I wrote all my papers in elementary school and high school, if I could get away with it, on some space themed topic. And was sort of sad that I did not end up in a career that had anything to do with the space sector. So, but one of my best friends that I met at UC Berkeley, Guillermo Sunline, did end up joining the space sector. We bonded in school over the fact that he wanted to be an astronaut as well. And he ended up not being able to be an astronaut because at that time you had to have perfect vision. But he did get into the space sector about 25 years ago. And about 3 years ago, we've been friends ever since. We keep touching base, having dinner when we're in the same place at the same time. But about 3 years ago, I sent him a DM in LinkedIn saying, I'm living vicariously through all of your space posts. And he's like, call me. So we chatted for like 3 hours. And he basically said, you should do it. I know you don't have a background in this, but you would be perfect in this industry because you're a master networker and you love space anyway. And so he really kind of took me under his wing and recommended some conferences to go to and people. He introduced me to a lot of important people. And then I just started connecting like crazy. And pretty soon I was introducing him to people that he had not met and figured, okay, I'm going to take the leap. And mid last year in 2023, he had this idea for Space Bridge Partners, but since he's a serial entrepreneur, he did not have the bandwidth to take the idea and run with it. So I said, look, I think I'd be perfect because it's somebody that needs to talk the space side of things, which I love and am passionate about and understand, and somebody that needs to talk to people that have money that can give towards these missions that are happening. And he said, that sounds awesome. So I took over as CEO in September 1st of last year, and here we are. I'm in my dream job in the space sector, and I just absolutely love it. So that's what brought me here.
I love that. I know that I keep smiling because when you're ingrained in your passion since you're young, somehow your brain just kind of manifests that. I keep going back to like 95% subconscious, 5% conscious, is because you're feeding your brain that that's really what you want. And life just takes you on a different route, sightseeing, whatever. And then by the time you're like, wait, what? I'm half a century old. What's happening here? I feel like I'm still 12. What do you mean? Right. And then because you're like, okay, I'm done sightseeing. I need to focus on really what my passion is about. And not everyone actually has the ability or capacity to really go for their dreams because family happens, death, you know, disability, things like that goes on with our lives. And we just kind of put in the back of our head the what if situation. Some of us do get those what ifs. And I'm so glad that you get to still love your work. We talked about this. It's not work for us because we love people and we are passionate about what we're doing and the difference that we're making, right? Yeah. It makes such a huge difference because I was told, oh, you can't do this and you can't be on TV. You're 5 feet tall. You're Filipino. No one watches. Literally all of these. No. And I'm thinking, is it because that's how you really feel about me or how you feel about yourself? Right. Mm-hmm. And I think what I really love about your, not I think, I know what I really love about your story is that perseverance and grit. You didn't give up hope on certain things or aspects of what you love and passionate about, and you make it change and pivot where you want to be today. So I'm so happy. Let's talk about this. What do you think is the most significant achievement in space exploration so far, and why and how your organization is helping that?
I can't really narrow this down to one thing. I think the most significant achievement is that we're in space and then how many things have come from that. I mean, we've got GPS from that. We've got, I mean, the cell phone you carry around every day is more powerful than all the computers they had working on the Apollo missions. So we've gotten Velcro from space. We've gotten so much technology, Teflon, Kevlar, I mean, materials from space, science from space. So much has come out of this whole space sector. That's what excites me about this. And that's where Space Bridge Partners comes in. Because our purpose is to help get funds for missions focused on exploration, science, and education. So those are usually the missions that get some, might get some government funding or might get some grant money, but usually not enough to cover the whole cost of the mission. And they can't find classic investors because there's not a commercial return. They're going up to study something. They're going to do a science experiment or look at another planet or things like that that are super vital for what we need to learn about Earth or develop technologies that can be used on Earth or better some of the technologies on Earth. So they're super important missions, and we hate to see any of those go unfunded because we can learn a lot from what's happening. That's where we come in, is to try to make sure that there's never another mission organized by one of these nonprofits or a university that's focused on science. Make sure none of those go unfunded ever again. So that's our goal, ultimately.
That's amazing. why are we not knocking on Elon? Honestly, he loves space. I'm like, hello, sir. Can we just get, you know, just 5 million? I'm sure that's only $5 for you. But we really need this. And here's why. Right.
I mean, we're not knocking on his door. But yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of things that he's working on as well. There's other science that also still needs to happen. I mean, there's space is going to be a $1 trillion sector by 2040. It's bonkers. So there's a lot of opportunity, probably even more than he can spread around. I mean, there's so many people that need to be involved in this sector to make it happen and to get the innovations that we need out of it.
Now, is there like a competition? Is there a lot of people who are in this space?
It's growing exponentially year over year, especially with the advent of SpaceX and these private companies. Well, it's SpaceX isn't private anymore, but these commercial companies that are non-government funded, right? There are more and more of them every day in all over the world. So many countries have private companies popping up. So people are realizing how important it is and what the thing kinds of things that you can do in space. Pharmaceutical companies are making the drugs are more effective if they're grown, the elements are grown in space. There's one company or a space mission that we're working on who's trying to figure out if humans can reproduce in less than 1g of gravity like we have on Earth. And people are talking about putting people on the moon, putting people on Mars. We can't just send people up there and have one generation die out and that's the end of that. We need to make sure we can successfully reproduce. So we're working with one mission organizer who's trying to see if we can successfully reproduce. And a great side effect is he's developed technology that helps increase the success rate of in vitro fertilization. So how cool is that? I mean, this is why I'm so excited.
I am. So here's the thing. I'd like to take vacation in Mars or, you know, somewhere, but like, I don't know if I want to permanently put myself in there. So this was six years ago. I met one of the astronauts for Mars One. Mm-hmm. When I went to the International Women Conference in Los Angeles, and I was actually working in construction at that time, one of the account managers, but I'm for women. So I met Zuckerberg's sister. She's the one who actually opened Facebook Live. And, you know, we meet really cool people and we want to know, you know, what are some of the thought process that they're going through. And one of the Mars one is permanently, she's going to live there forever. And so it takes them 2 years to like continuously testing. But she said she had a hard time on. She goes, the physical, the everything was fine, but my mental was not as strong as it is because I didn't know how to tell my family that I'm alive, but I might as well be dead because you won't see me. You don't get to hug me. I don't get to have dinner with you on Thanksgiving or holidays or my birthday because I'll be in Mars. Right. But imagine you can go back and forth. Like, I want to fund that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that was so interesting. I'm so excited about this conversation. I'm like, oh, please, Sarah. What are some of the biggest challenges humanity faces when it comes to exploring deep space and how are we overcoming them? What are some of those things that you probably seen? I know some of them are probably like NDA'd, right? But what are some of the things that you guys are focusing on in terms of this project?
Well, there's a few things. Obviously, there's the physical challenge, which everybody knows about from the astronauts who have been to the ISS for extended periods of time. You start to lose muscle mass, your vision gets worse. There's lots of physical changes that happen to your body. So that's one thing that we have to figure out how to overcome. But there is already science working on that. In fact, there are a couple of mission organizers that are looking right now at missions that have to do with using sets of twins and sending one twin to space and keeping one twin on Earth. This has already happened with the Kellys, who are twin brothers, Scott Kelly, the astronaut, and his twin brother. They've looked at the changes in his body after having been up in space versus his brother who stayed on Earth. So those are some of the physical challenges we have to overcome. But, you know, the reason why why our company exists also are some of the monetary challenges, especially all the science that needs to happen that may not have a commercial return right away. Eventually it could down the road, but there are so many things we need to learn about solar radiation and, you know, less, you know, microgravity or less than the amount of gravity we have on Earth, all that good stuff needs, we need to learn way more about it than we know. We need some more money to be able to do that and to afford to conduct all these experiments. And I'm sure there's a ton of experiments we haven't even thought up yet that need to happen too, as we get closer and closer to realizing a position on Mars or the moon or even Venus, which is really important planet as well. So there's a lot, I mean, I could spend the whole rest of the hour talking about what needs to happen, but those are a few things.
I love that though. I see your passion through it. And here, my brain is like, shoo, 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 like shooting thoughts and ideas on it. First of all, I want to take this space. YouTube, we hit almost 1,200 people watching us. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
You guys love astronomy. So now, what are some of the things that we can do as individuals? Because here's the thing. We love the benefit, but somehow we don't get to help. That's what I owe, because sometimes it's so hard to grasp for people how they could help. And these benefits, not one, not two, not three people, everybody, literally, it could benefit you. It might not be during our lifetime. It could be. Nobody knows, depending on how much funding we get, right? But what can individuals do to help towards this project?
Well, one of the things that I think people don't realize is that based on how quickly the space sector is growing and how many different kinds of companies are out there, you could actually be a part of the whole ecosphere. Whether you're a janitor, a chef, an architect, like almost every single occupation we have on Earth, we're going to need to have when we're off Earth, whether it's in a space station or on another planet or on the moon. And so there's a lot of ways that you can get involved now that I think you'd be surprised about. I mean, look at me. I had over 30 years in the, you know, making toys for kids and selling them. And now I'm, you know, negotiating contracts between donors and brand sponsors and media partners and people that are doing space missions. So you can get involved now. I highly encourage people to attend some of the conferences. There's free ones all the time. You could literally spend every single week traveling to a different space conference. It's somewhere in the world. There's one happening all the time. So figure out what your passion is and figure out what you like about it. I mean, interior designers are involved now in putting together new habitats or helping design the interiors of new habitats that companies are putting together. They need salespeople. They need licensing people. They need legal people. So that's one way you can get involved, is actually literally find a job in the space sector. So reach out to your network and you can make that happen. I'm sure you're less than 6 degrees of separation from somebody working in the industry. That's one way you can help. The other way is there's always nonprofits that are giving to these. So you could donate to those nonprofits, look at the foundations that are contributing. We aren't quite set up yet to take like a GoFundMe version of donations to fund space, but that is something that we've been considering. A lot of people have asked us about that, so that may happen at some point. But yeah, there's a lot of ways you can get involved.
We can't wait to help you specifically a GoFundMe or even WeFunder. Like maybe if they hit certain amount, gamify the funding. Literally, if you hit certain amount of money, you could, once you know, somebody explore in the space, I don't know if live streaming is allowed, but I'm just saying, like, you could get a piece of paper from the astronaut and write like, CJ's here, you know, like, even though there, and have funding for that, right? Like, think about gamifying, you know, the funder itself and the funding process itself, right? Mm-hmm. like if you, you know, pay $50,000, you know, you could get your name on there in on a piece of paper while they're, you know, up in space. Or maybe they can have a rock and name it CJ, even a baby tiny rock. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, put it in there, you know, something to that effect, because not everybody can go. And once you're there, I mean, something that like that gamified version of funding your project is so amazing. And while you were thinking like, oh yeah, I just get a job, I'm like, oh, do they have a live streamer / karaoke? And is this like a copyright thing if I sing like Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys while I'm up there? Like I was, my dad was literally having that conversation. Oh my gosh, right? The reason I love music, and I would love to have music here that's like, you know, in the background, what we love. But, you know, YouTube is big on copyright. And I'm like, what? There's no you. That's a different planet, though. Like,
right. Live streaming. Imagine the licensing rights for that. But there are definitely, I mean, there are people working on getting a band in space, doing a game show in space, doing a sporting event in space. There's lots of those kinds of companies around. So, yeah.
Oh my God. I want to have like a fashion show / karaoke. Like I just have people sing instead of the music and then have, you know, models in all sizes, all ages. It'll just be fun. Oh my gosh.
Totally
my head
fun.
Is turning.
Definitely.
How do you see commercial space travel evolving and what role does it play in the future of space exploration? Didn't we already had one? I thought.
Are you talking about more on the tourism side of things or just privately funded missions?
Privately funded missions.
So yeah, Jared Isaacman just did one called Polaris Dawn. And they went and tested new spacesuits that were designed. I think they were designed by Axiom. It was the first quote unquote civilian spacewalk. So he went outside of the capsule and tested the flexibility of the arms and the legs and if he could, you know, his vision of sight and all that good stuff. So, there has been commercial space travel. Right now, it is mostly for very wealthy people that either fund it or actually self-fund, like Jared Isaacman did. But pretty soon, it's going to be cheaper and cheaper. I mean, just an example, back in the days of Apollo, it cost about $25,000 to take 1 kilogram of matter into space, like on a rocket. And now with the rise of SpaceX, it's about $1,600. So it's way cheaper to send things into space. And, you know, SpaceX is an example of commercial space. But as far as humans are involved, the more studies we can do about how to reverse the effects of that space has on the body and how to shield humans from radiation, all of the physical things that happen to you when you're in space, we need to study more of that. But I think with the excitement that Elon Musk has put behind Mars and NASA has put behind the next trip to the moon, there's a whole Venus contingent that's growing very quickly. Rocket Lab's extremely interested in Venus. With that, I think just the general enthusiasm and the public awareness of it, more and more people will become aware of it, and it'll be more and more accessible basically because the costs are coming down. So if there's more people out there, you wouldn't necessarily have to be a billionaire to do something like what Jared Isaacman did and actually put together your own space mission. I think that's going to happen much sooner than people think.
Yeah, especially with AI. I think I forgot what it was called, but my heart sank. Wasn't there like a millionaire where he went under the ocean instead of space? They go under and I was like, oh man, I'm sure it was quick, but ooh, the heart when you start not breathing and just thinking about it, right? I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean, we lost Apollo astronauts too. I mean, that innovation is a tough job and that's bound to happen. Frankly, with the amount of flights that we have leaving the planet every day, it's safer than air flight. It's safer than airplane travel. So it's still, you know, there are a ton of risks involved, but there's so much engineering behind it because there's also, even, you know, obviously humans, the most priceless cargo, but there are billion-dollar pieces of cargo going up in these rockets. And we want to make sure we don't lose those either. So, like I said, space travel is still safer than flying on an airplane. So I'm sure it will stay that way, especially with all the innovations coming up.
One of these days, but I would like to come back though, not a permanent house in there. If I did get to build my house, you know what color it will be? It will be pink. And I told my daughter when she was young that if you become famous and or have a lot of money, before I die, can you build me a Hello Kitty house? Like, I had it drawn and everything of what Hello Kitty house that I want.
Awesome.
I went to YouTube and saw that, and I was like, wow, can you imagine? But I want the house to look small, but when you go in, it looks so big, like some of those illusion, you know?
Huh?
Yeah, it will be all pinkified. That's for sure. But I...
You should partner up with Sanrio. I bet you can make it happen.
I know. I met the original designer of Hello Kitty. She's Japanese. She's actually 60 something at comic convention. I have her signature.
Wow.
Yeah. She doesn't speak English very well, but she's so cool. Like, she's in her 60s at that time and she was wearing Hello Kitty and I'm like, see, that's what I'm going to be when I'm 80. I'm like punk rock Hello Kitty pink. That's what I'm going to be walking to see. Like, who's that old lady to call her kids and take her home? Like, why is she so bright? That would be me. I love Hello Kitty. I've grown up with it. It's been almost 50, you know, it's like 100. I think they just hit 50 years. My husband bought me all Hello Kitty. like I have so many Hello Kitty. It's not funny, but they're expensive. I mean, this like little squishy is like $40. Like, what is this?
Wow.
Right? But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh God, but it's something that makes you happy. Right? It's something that makes you happy. Now, space exploration was not in my peripheral, quite honestly, but with having you in this conversation, I'm getting way too excited. Like, I wonder what I'm doing there. What is one discovery or innovation in space exploration that you think will change life on Earth? Even if we haven't done it yet, maybe in the future, what are some of your thoughts on that?
There's a few different. I think it's really important for us to study Venus. It's our sister planet. It's about the same size as Earth. And as everyone knows, you cannot live on the surface of Venus because the pressure will crush you and there's volcanoes everywhere and the atmosphere is made of sulfuric acid. But there's a big school of thought out there that Venus used to look a lot like Earth. And that the runaway greenhouse gases has turned it into what it looks like today. So if we could study Venus more, we could learn a lot more about the fate of Earth. So I think that's one on sort of on the doom and gloom side of things. But I think that's a really important area of study. Planetary study and the moons, especially around Jupiter, are also very important. There's a moon around Jupiter that based on what we've seen from telescopes, looks like it could have mountains and valleys and rivers and look a lot like Earth. So just studying these planets just in our solar system, I think will be really important to help us on Earth too. But yeah, I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think there's something we haven't even thought of yet that's going to happen. I'm hoping it's in the area of how fast we can get from point A to point B, whether it's through some sort of a wormhole or some sort of propulsion. Obviously the human body has to be able to withstand that, which is a tough one. But I think that we'll be able to figure out how to do that somehow. And that's what excites me. I mean, that's what excites me about this whole sector is all these things. And there's everybody, I've never met a Debbie Downer yet in the space sector. Everybody's an optimist. Everybody's excited about the future. Everybody's excited about innovation. It's a really fun place.
Yeah, because the possibilities and the opportunities of learning more. Like, we haven't even figured out the bottom of the ocean. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Now yeah.
And I was having this conversation with my kids, actually, and my husband. I was like, okay, like, I wonder, you know, there is definitely that equilibrium, right? The middle part of the core of Earth. But how powerful is it? Because if you think about Earth as a circle, and right now it's day here, it's nighttime somewhere else. You're literally standing on a circle. Have you tried to put anything on a ball that's circle? It falls, okay? Like, how amazing is the creator of Earth for us to be standing all on 8 billion people and not fall all the time? Like, you know, and my daughter's like, I'm still, I mean, like, I understand it, but I don't understand how planes just goes up and stay up, or how boats, you know, stay afloat when it's like a huge cruise line.
Right.
You know, having all these thoughts. And I know she loves arts, and like all the calligraphy and music and things like that, but she's also exploring these thoughts that she sees, because we used to fly a lot, and then, you know, now we take boats from here to there, and she's having this curiosity. I think what we're missing is, I will push for more women and girls to do more sciences, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just male dominated curiosity. I think we need to push for everybody, male, female, but mostly really kids, women and girls, to do exploration, yes, sciences and things like that, because it's so important, because we think differently. Men think differently and women think differently. Uh-huh. Women like solutions that are sometimes out of the box than most of the generic solutions that's, you know, been in the past. And I love that you talk about Mars, because isn't there like a book like Men Are From Venus and Women Are From Mars, or vice versa? I don't know which book that was.
Women Are From Venus. Yeah, Men Are From Mars.
Yeah. So it's like Mars has thin atmosphere, right? It has carbon dioxide, and there's like maybe water in there. I don't know if it's frozen. I think it's the temperature is also a challenge maybe for Mars, right?
Yeah. And the radiation, because the atmosphere is so thin. So all of the, and if we have a society on Mars, we'll have to be, it'll have to be underground, or else people will die just from radiation poisoning immediately.
Yeah. Or dope. Maybe we can create a dome, right? A big dome. I mean, Dubai already has that type of city. Why not have a dome where you can maybe have 100 people in there and do their studying in there? You know what I mean? And maybe it's more like, I'm thinking of like HOB, where we have ambassadors every 3 months, you know, like cycle. Maybe we'll have like 100 people for, I don't know, 2 to 5 years. And then take those 100 people down, or whoever wants 50 of them to go down, and then take another fresh eye to go back up, you know, in the dome, so that it's not so expensive to go back and forth,
right?
And just have people, you know, inhabit that dome that's free of, you know, all the toxic. I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, that's what Elon Musk wants to do. That's why he's built Starship, because it can carry 100 passengers instead of just 6, which is the most that any spacecraft can carry today. So yeah, that's definitely the goal. If we're gonna build out somewhere off Earth, we can't do it 6 people at a time. We've got to take a ton of cargo and a ton of people to make it happen.
Yeah, and I want to see that happen, even for my great grandkids, even if I'm not here. Like, I want to promote that, because it's really an amazing time to, an exciting time to explore places we've never been, right?
Yeah.
This is my last question before I will ask you a pre-last question, but what role do international collaborations play in advancing that space exploration, and how can they be improved?
I love this question. There's already been so much international, and the International Space Station is a perfect example of that. It's, you know, it's Russia, it's the US, it's Japan. Those are the biggest contributors, but there have been astronauts from all over the world on that space station. It's hugely important. Nobody owns space, at least not yet. Nobody owns space, you know, and that's one of the one of the things I've heard a lot from people who have been above the Kármán line, which is the dividing line between Earth's atmosphere and outer space, when you can see the curvature of the Earth. One of my favorite quotes from, and I can't even remember, I'm embarrassed to say who said it, but you can't see borders from space. So there's no countries. It's just, there's water and there's land, and it's one big blue dot, as Carl Sagan said. And so I think that's really important to remember, and that as we move towards space, and the best way we can innovate is with the best minds from all over the planet. It shouldn't matter where they come from. And it's hugely important. And it's something that we're mindful of too at Spacebridge Partners. I mean, we have missions literally from all over the globe in our pipeline right now that need funding. So we're trying to encourage that international collaboration. It could definitely make life on Earth more peaceful. For sure, if people understand that, and the more people that can go into space, I mean, there's only been roughly 600 people in space in the entire history of the planet. So the more people we can get to space to realize, you know, how small we are in our solar system, let alone the universe, the better. And it should make for more peaceful times here on the planet.
We create our own issue by creating a non-issue to an issue that existed 100 years ago when we really don't have an issue. Oh my gosh, I'm a poet and didn't know it, Sarah. Oh my gosh, that's what happens when an ADHD person is interviewing you. My brain just woo. It's so true. It's so true. Like, I don't know why we're, I think the world is a hoarder. Like, people are like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I think we're hoarders. Like, the nationalists are hoarders, right? Like, yeah. Stop taking things from other people when it doesn't belong to you. At least ask nicely. You know what I mean? Right? And you're like, yes. No, I want all of these. I want all of these. Can you share? No? What? Uh-huh. What? Your own, you know what I mean? Or get right. Your own. And why are we acting like only children? I know, because I'm an only child, but I'm just saying. Why is the world acting like an only children? Hello? Mm-hmm. Sharing is caring, people. Oh my gosh. It is so funny. I can't believe we're ending this conversation. I don't want to end this conversation.
Yeah, that flew by.
I know. Amy, I don't think I've had a pleasure to get to know you. Welcome.
She's
to
awesome. She's great. Yes. I'll introduce you guys. She's great.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much. Now, this is my last question. And this has nothing to do with exploration. This is more of a Sarah type of question. And it's a bit deep, so you can take your time to answer this. If this is your last day today on this earth, because we know tomorrow's not guaranteed, right? What would be your last parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
It's definitely tied to what has been happening to me over the last couple of years. I still pinch myself at the kinds of people I've run into, especially in the last 12 months through my network. I mean, there are so many people that are so successful and altruistic at the same time. You get much farther faster together. And people through, like, I've met people at the Dames, which I'm not even a member of yet, but they're just so supportive. Hounds of Business community, so supportive. Like, people that have big hearts and share that heart with others, just really, what they say, a rising tide lifts all boats. It's so much easier to be happy with your life and your job if you do something for other people and help them out, no strings attached. You all get better that way. So I wish there was more of that in the world. I see it, and I love that what I see. Let's make that even bigger, more global.
I love it. Yeah. So Level Up Academy is international and global. That's why we partner with Mike. I've been global for the last 2 years, and I think volunteerism is in my blood for sure.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I won the city key because I spent 1,000 more hours volunteering at the old folks' home, reading them, creating cards. It's so sad that they don't have family sometimes, and they're lonely during like Thanksgiving or even Mother's Day or Father's Day. So I would take my friends to write notes. I also volunteer at the hospital for babies and feeding babies to the point where my parents says, please don't be pregnant at 16. My mom was pregnant with me at 16. I was hanging out at the hospital, feeding babies, burping them. And I love babies. I still do. And I don't know what it is. I just think it's babies cute, but I like them fat, like really chubby. Like, I like to feed them a lot. And my daughter got mad at me. She's like, Mom, I was so chubby. I was like, hey, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? I was like, girl, you were already thriving when you came out of me. Let me just tell you. Okay. She was drinking a gallon of milk like a day.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she was. And I have a tattoo actually that has piglet because she was a piglet, literally. But here's the thing. When she got sick, she bounced back quickly. My kids bounced back because they already have enough fat in their body. And I said, I was feeding your brain. That's why you're so smart. That's because I was feeding it vitamins. And
right.
She's like, oh, sure. You just wanted me to look like Buddha or something. You know, like, she's so funny because her grandmother is in Buddhism. So she's so funny. But I love that you want better for people, want better communities that can really help. And I truly believe, like, that's why Hounds of Business Community and Level Up Academy are partnering, because we have the same people and the same mission to help others. And the currency today of getting your messages is no longer billboard, where you can't afford $10,000 for one billboard, right? It's now social media. And when you're like, well, I have this social media, no, the bigger the social media, the more social media people you have, the better. And that's why I'm putting out Podcast Circuit, because I want all podcasters to blast an event everywhere we can possibly be, with their network, with my network, with Mike's network, with everybody's network at the end. And I think we really need to get out of that competition type. I think we just need to provide services out there, what we offer, and let the customer pick, just like buffet. It's just out there, and it's up to you what your appetite is for the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I hope that the next planet, wherever that's going to be 50 years or 100 years from now, that's going to be like that, where we don't separate ourselves based on the color of our skin, the gender, the religion, right? Or the politics.
Geography, yeah.
Nothing. Like, just be a human being and share. It's... Yeah. That word share is so hard sometimes to come out of my mouth, because, like I said, I'm an only child. but it took me a while to say compromise too. I'm like, compromise? What do you mean? I get everything. And my husband's looking at me like, yeah. And you know what's really bad, Sarah, is my husband's also an only child. So what do you think happens in our house?
It's probably good you can relate to each other, though.
Right, we have two kids because we don't want them to be like us. But I think they still grew up that. I don't know what happened. Like, see? I love this conversation. I don't want it to end. I got this book. I know you're probably thinking, CJ, what is that? It's so beautiful, right?
But yeah.
This is called Niccolo Machiavelli's The Prince on the Art of Power. But I got attracted to this book based on this quote. You have opinions of Machiavelli, that's fine. But here's the thing. Everyone sees what you appear to be, but few experience what you really are.
Wow, I like that quote. Yeah.
Right? Think about it. This is why people automatically judge you when they see you in public or on social media. But they really don't know who you are and what your heart is all about.
Yeah.
So before we end this, Sarah, what would you like people to know on what you're doing and what you're all about?
Well, I mean, on the surface, obviously what I'm doing is trying to get these missions funded. But what I'm all about is trying to give back both monetarily. But also, you know, in terms of like mentorship and just helping people in their careers. And as you mentioned earlier, my secret mission is to get more and more women involved in the space sector. I'm actually pleasantly surprised with how many women I see at all these conferences, but it's definitely not equal to the number of men that I see. So, but yeah, I think what I'm excited about is as we become more and more successful, is being able to give back and help underserved communities put together a space mission or donate funds to different causes that support science and innovation and women and girls in STEM fields, and especially space. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, I can't hear you all of a sudden.
I muted myself.
There you go. I was like, uh-oh, is that on my end?
No. My English bulldog starts snoring a lot, but I don't think you can pick up. I'm trying to not make sure that you can't pick up the snoring. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate
thank
you. Thank you for being in the Hounds of Business Community and Level Up Circle. And I will see you in a bit. And Sarah, where can we find you, by the way? Are you on LinkedIn, Instagram? Where are you?
I am on LinkedIn. You can find me. I am on Instagram too, but it's under Luna Springs, at Luna Springs. But yeah, find me. LinkedIn's probably the best place. I think I'm the only Sarah Pujo on there. And then our website is spacebridgepartners.com. if you want more information about our company.
Sarah will put all of this in the comment section, guys. And in the meantime, I'm going to put it in the comment section at her LinkedIn link so you guys can actually contact Sarah and have exploration conversation. I love that, right? I will see you in a bit, Sarah. Please don't go anywhere as I end this show. Wow, that was so amazing, right? I hope you guys had a good time having those conversations with Sarah and I. This is an amazing conversation that gets me excited on the possibilities. I might not be able to see myself go on any of these planets, but I'm hoping that somewhere down my bloodline, my great-great-grandbabies will be able to go up to space, and more women for sure. I have two daughters, and so I would love for that to happen. So thank you guys so much for being here, and here is my outro.
Are you a curious student, eager to learn new skills and make your mark in the world? Or are you a professional seeking to advance your career and unlock your full potential? You need to be equipped with effective soft skills like communication, problem solving, teamwork, and more. The Level Up Academy by Doc Leland bridges the gap between education and employment through transferable skills training. Get the soft skills you need to be more effective at work.
Bye. Bye, everybody. See you tomorrow for a Happy Thanksgiving TV show with my sister, Susanna and Danielle. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'm grateful for you. Bye.